That was wonderful. If you have your Bibles today, the book of John, chapter number 3, is on our heart. The book of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16. Preacher Darren, you just preached from this verse last week. I know, but I only got through the first four words. And there's 25 words in it. And it may take me a while to get through all these words. So today, I want to look at least two more of those words. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. This morning I want to preach on God's love for the world. How God loves the world. Amen. And so I want to focus on those two words, the world, and think about God's love. Now you think about the first two words, for God, and the last two words, the world, and what connects a holy God to a sinful world? Love. He so loved the world. There's the connection. Father, we thank you for the word of God that's been read today. We thank you, Father, for this. I believe this verse is just the heartbeat of the gospel. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning to preach the word in power. And I pray, God, you'd help us today, Father, that we'd make application to our lives. Certainly, we are saved by the love of God because you sent your Son to die in our place. And how we thank you and how we praise you for his suffering, for his death, for the blood that he shed, and that he was buried. And thank God, on the first day of the week, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We praise you this morning. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. In Topeka, Kansas, a man had his Bible, and he went to lunch, and he was sitting there reading his Bible, and an atheist walked by and he said to him, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading my Bible." He said, "I don't believe that mess." And the man looked down and he says, "Well, I'm reading it anyway." And he began to read a little bit and he said, "Well," he said, you got a weird look on your face. Don't you believe what you just read?" He said, "Well, I have just run across a verse. It's making me stumble. I've run across a verse that, I tell you, it's just hard to fathom." He said, "Really?" Filled with glee. He said, "What is it?" He said, "John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And he said, "That just sounds too good to believe." Amen. It's just too good to believe. Amen. The atheist went on to say, "Well," he said, "I might believe it if the verse said, 'For God so hated the world.'" He said, "Well, at least you admit there's a God." Amen. Amen. I think about all the rebellion. Think about all the rebellion, the sin, the violence, the corruption, the wickedness, the depravity of mankind. And yet God, a thrice holy God, an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, loves every single one of us. God loves a sinful world. Why? How? I want to look at today God's love for the world. Number one, I believe it demands a definition. Now let's just look back through these words. It demands a definition. The first two words, for God, automatically it assumes that God exists. You don't know where in the Bible does God set out to prove his existence? The very first words in the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." He didn't try to prove his existence. He doesn't need to prove it. He's God. Amen. The word "for" is the word "gar." It is a term of explanation. It gives us a reason. It gives us God's motive. The word "God" is the word "theos." It literally reads the God of creation, the God of all glory, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is it in us that caused God to love us? Nothing. The Bible says God is love. The very nature and the essence and the character of God is that he loves. loves everyone. Thank God for it. It not only assumes God's existence, but it asserts God's love. The Bible says that he so loved. The word so is the Greek word houtos. It actually means to the degree of his love. It wasn't just that he loved, but he so loved the world. Loved is the word agapeo. It means unconditional. Then we get to the words the world. It attests God's purpose. The words the world. Ho, cosmos, cosmos. And the world means the inhabitants of the world. May I just stop to point out that the world is under the control of Satan and of sin. Preacher Darren, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus said that he was the prince of this world. So he dominates and is in control. It is the devil that's behind the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the devil that's behind the refusal of the church. It is the devil that is behind the reversal of God's commandments. We mentioned this last Wednesday night that a lot of the fines that were handed down across the United States during this pandemic of churches that are still trying to gather, a lot of that's not about health. It's about hate. They hate the gospel. They hate the church. They hate the commands of Almighty God. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I just have a question. What man would choose the pain and sorrow of sin versus the joy of salvation? What man would choose hell rather than heaven? It's amazing. The world is marred by sin, marred by disobedience, marred by rebellion, and the world is seemingly broken away from God. Years ago in Ohio, when Ohio was still a wilderness, a vast wilderness, a couple moving towards the west got some property there in Ohio in the wilderness, and the man began to clear it out and began to build a little cabin for he and his family, he and his wife and his little two-year-old girl. And as he was out working one day, he got the home built, and he was out working on a barn because he had some fields. His two-year-old girl, she ventured out the front door to go up into the woods and to go across into the pasture and out to the field to find her daddy. But she got lost. And they yelled for her and screamed for her all afternoon and into the evening and into the dark. And they got the neighbors to look for the little girl. And finally, after two weeks, they went down to a marketplace miles and miles away where they said a band of Indians had gone through and they had a little white infant with them. And so they went all the way into Wisconsin looking for that little girl. And it took them 14 and a half years before they finally found that little girl. And the daddy said, "Honey, I'm your daddy." But after 14 and a half years, that little girl didn't recognize him. She was only two when she last saw him. And she didn't recognize him. And she denied that he was who he said he was. And then her mother, she came and said, "I'm your mother. I love you." And she fell at her feet and she spat at her mother. She'd been 14 and a half years removed from the existence of her very parents. And the little mother down at her feet began to sing a little lullaby that she sang to her every night. And the little girl, something happened and caused her to remember that lullaby. And she said, "My mother sang me that song. You must be my mother. My mother loves me." And there they were reunited. May I just stop to say today that mankind, because of our sin, has broken away from God. And we've been gone for years. And God is still in pursuit. God is still looking for fallen man. And we may spit at him. We may reject him. We may deny him. But the fact of the matter is this. Here's the lullaby. God loves the world. God loves us though we're sinners, though we're trespassers. God loves us. So the term the world demands a definition. Number two, I believe the love of God for the world, it defies description. I'll be honest, this is more than I can preach. It's more than I can even declare today. It's more than I can say. I've just fell before God and said, "God, I am so inadequate to tell our church that a holy God loves the world. Who am I? I'm not even qualified to preach the message. And God, all I can do is just scatterbrain this morning. So God, would you help me? And God says, just tell them that the love of God defies description. I thought about this. Here you are. You're saved. You seem to be fine people to me. But most of us, we don't even love our own kinfolk. Not all of them. Much less the entire world. And God loves every single one. Some of the most bitter attitudes and some of the most bitter animosities and some of the most evil hatreds I have found within the family unit. The disgust that people have for each other. But God has it within His great heart of love to love everyone. Every sinner, every saint, He loves us all the same. God loves every skin color. He loves every diversity from A to Z. I just started studying. Just how marvelous is the love of God. He loves the Afghans. He loves the Albanians, the Algerians, the Americans, the Angolians, the Argentines, the Armenians, the Australians, the Austrians, the Bahamians, the Bangladeshis, the Belarusians, the Belgians, the Bolivians, the Bosnians, the Brazilians, the British, the Bulgarians, the Burmese, the Cambodians, the Cameroonians, the Canadians, the Chileans, the Chinese, the Colombians, the Costa Ricans, the Croats, the Cubans, and the Czechs. He loves the Danes, the Dominicans, the Dutch, the Ecuadorians, the Egyptians, the English, the Estonians, the Ethiopians, the Fijians, the Finns, the Filipinos, the French, the Georgians, the Germans, the Ghanaians, the Greeks, the Haitians, the Hondurans, the Hungarians, the Icelanders, the Indians, the Indonesians, the Iranians, the Iraqis, the Irish, the Israelis, the Italians, the Jamaicans, the Japanese, the Jordanians, the Jews, the Kenyans, the Koreans, the Kuwaitis, the Latvians, the Lebanese, the Libyans, the Lithuanians, the Macedonians, the Maltese, the Mexicans, the Moldovans, the Mongolians, the Moroccans, the Nicaraguans, the Nigerians, the Norwegians, the Omanis, the Pakistanis, the Palestinians, the Panamanians, the Peruvians, the Poles, the Portuguese, the Puerto Ricans, the Qatari, the Romanians, the Russians, the St. Lucians, the Samoans, the Saudis, the Scots, the Slovaks, the South Africans, the Spaniards, the Sudanese, the Swedes, the Swiss, the Syrians, the Taiwanese, the Tanzanians, the Thais, the Tibetans, the Tunisians, the Turks, the Ugandans, the Ukrainians, the Uruguayans, the Venezuelans, the Vietnamese, the Welsh, the Zosians, the Yemenis, the Zambians, and the Zimbabweans, just to name a few. He loves every single one of them. And everyone I left out, He loves them too. God loves the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Jebusites. He loves the parasites, laugh out loud. He loves the world. He loves the civilized and the uncivilized, the educated and the uneducated. He loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves the savage. He loves the culture. He loves the Baptist. He loves the Methodist. He loves the Presbyterian. He loves the Catholics. He loves the Buddhist. He loves the Hindu. He loves the Islamic. He loves the Mormons. Amen. Just to name a few. Are you getting my picture? He loves the world. I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Please turn there with me. Isaiah 49. I want you to find this. Very important that you see it. Verse number 15. Isaiah 49 verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child? In other words, we're talking about a mother's love. Now we just said the love of God for the world defies description.
And here we are seeing a picture of a mother's love. I've heard people say the closest thing to the love of God is the love that a mother has for her child. After carrying that child for 9 months, they have a bond. They have a connection. Let me tell you, it defies the description of a mother's love. Verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Think about how many mothers abort a baby. How many mothers abuse a baby. How many mothers abandon their very own children. Why, preacher, that doesn't happen. You kidding? Let's go back a few years to Susan Smith. She started having lust or love for some man, and he didn't want children. So she took her two kids and put them in the car seat and kicked her car out of gear and rolled it off into a lake. And then told everybody she was carjacked and somebody stole her car and her kids. And all the time she knew she drowned them. Can you imagine, mother, hearing your children scream as they're going into the lake, the fear that would have filled them, the screams, Mama! Mama! And she turned aside for her own self-will. God would never abandon, God would never abuse one of his very own. The love that a mother has for her child pales in comparison to the love that God has for the world. What about a father's love? I think about the love. We won't take time to read it. I think about the love that Jacob had for his 12 boys as he gathered around his bedside. I think about the love that David had for his children. Remember Absalom, that wicked boy, when Absalom died? What did David say? Oh, Absalom, Absalom, would to God that I had died in thy place, Absalom. And yet a father's love pales in comparison to the love that God has for the world. I had gone to the hospital one time and went through the back way, not here in our town, but in another town. And when I walked in, there was a child severely disfigured. They were talking to him, and I listened. And he said, when I was just young, my daddy, he squirted kerosene, poured it all over me, and for no reason, he lit me on fire. I want to say something today. Daddies, we don't love like we should. Mothers, we may love, but we don't love like we should. The love of God defies description today because his love is greater than a father's love. His love is greater than a mother's love for their very own children. Oh, but preacher, what about a lover's love? You know, when love is in full bloom and in full blossom, a love that will do anything for the one that they love. I remember the little boy who wrote a poem. He said, I love you so much, I'd cross the ocean wide. I'd go across the tallest mountain. I'd go across the widest desert. I'd do whatever it took. P.S., if it rains tomorrow, I'll see you in a couple of days. Right? We pledge our love, but very seldom do we really fulfill or mean what we say. A lot of times our love is just, you say, I love my wife, I love my church, I love hot dogs, I love basketball. Hey, it's just a loose term that you use. But God's not using love as a loose term. For God so loved the world. I thought about this man by the name of George Matheson. He got engaged to a young lady that he loved very, very much. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, he said, Mr. Matheson, in 3 months, you'll go completely blind. You're losing your eyesight. And he began to weep, and with bitter tears, he came home and told his fiancée of his condition in 3 months. The doctor says, I'll lose my sight. I love you. I'm so glad you're there for me to get me through this and help me. And his fiancée said, this is over. Surely you do not expect me to be tied to a blind man for the rest of my life. You see, God's love transcends a mother's love. God's love transcends a father's love. God's love transcends a lover's love. Yet God is a picture of a mother. He's a picture of a father. He's a picture of a lover in the scripture. But his love is perfect. I'm sorry, I was getting a little tore up. God loves the addict. God loves the adulterer. God loves the affectionate, the angry, those with a bad attitude, the backbiters, the bitter, the blasphemous, the boasters, the brawlers. God loves the cold and the callous. He loves the complainers. He loves the cursers, the doubters, the defiled, the diseased, the disobedient. Oh yes, he still loves you. God loves the defiled. God loves the depraved. God loves the envious. God loves those that are evil. God loves the empty. God loves the effeminate. God loves the fearful. God loves the failures. God loves the flops. God loves the foolish. God loves the fornicator. God loves the guilty. Woo. God loves the grieving. God loves the greedy. God loves the grudging. God loves the hard-hearted. God loves the hateful. God loves the haughty. God loves the hypocritical. God loves the high-minded. God loves the ill-tempered. God loves the idolatrous. God loves those with idle words. God loves the jealous. God loves the judgy-judgers. God loves the liars. God loves the lustful. God loves the lovers of self. God loves the miserable. God loves the mockers. God loves the mean-spirited. God loves the mischievous. God loves the murmurer. God loves the problematic, the prejudiced, the prideful, the presumptive, the rebellious, the revelers, the reproachful, the rioters, the roughnecks, the sinful. God loves sinners. Amen. God loves the shameful, the sorrowful, the struggling, the self-willed, the troubled, the tried, the tormented, the tearful, the traitors. God loves the ungodly, the unfaithful, the unthankful, the unbelieving, the unmerciful. God loves the unforgiving. God loves the vile. God loves the vulgar. God loves the violent and the variant. God loves the wicked. God loves the wayward. God loves the wretched. God loves the wrathful. God even loves witches and wizards. Hey, from A to Z, God loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. I sit down with commentary books because I'm just trying to get ideas and trying to read more about for God so loved the world. And man, I run across so many different ideas, had so many different theologies. They messed this verse up like a game of spiritual twister. It's a mess. I'm telling you today, God loves everyone. And he sent his son to die in their place that nobody would have to go to hell. Oh, yes, but Preacher Darren, people did go to hell. Does he love them? If he did, his love was wasted. Honey, his love has never been wasted. They had the opportunity to be saved. They had the opportunity to be forgiven. Well, I've got to move on. Thirdly, and I'll be done, the love of God, it declares a destination. Now let's talk about it, this love of God that is for the world. Think about the world. Who is the head of the world? The devil is the prince of the world. He's the head of religion. You know when religion got started? Cain came before the Lord. And he offered the fruit of the ground. He offered the works of his hands. That's false religion. It's not about works. It's not about things that you do. His brother came and brought the blood. Hey, the only way you'll ever worship is through the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other way, church, that we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ but through the blood that was shed. 1 John 5:19 says this about the world. The whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm going to say it again. The whole world lieth in wickedness. You know where you live? Amidst wickedness. Don't expect the news to get better. Don't expect, listen, don't expect complete change, because the whole world lies in wickedness, and the head of the world behind religion. What about behind politics? Don't talk about politics, preacher dear. Let's talk about it. Do you know who started cities? Do you know who started trade, commerce? Do you know who even started governments? Cain. And it was all the devil behind it. He's the head of the world. I thought about the heart of the world. Listen to a verse of scripture. Listen. Ecclesiastes 8:11. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We have a common heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. I would just remind you that are saved, that are here today, say amen. You that are saved, God saved you out of the world. You were in the world and you're still of the world, but thank God he's brought you out of the world. Hey, I may not be yet what I need to be, but I'm better than I used to be. Thank God for that, amen. 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All the greed and the lust, yet God loves anyway. The heart of man is filled. Well, I named those sins. Such were some of you. And some of you still have struggles with greed and envy and jealousy. Hey, when I said some of those right there, it tore you up, because God loves you, though you may be those things, still fighting those things. God loves you anyway. God loves you. And he wants you to respond to his love. Wouldn't it be terrible if I said to my wife, I love you, and she couldn't say I love you back? Wouldn't it be terrible if I said to my daughter, or I said to my son, I love you, and they couldn't say I love you back? Wouldn't it be terrible? It'd just be terrible if I said to you, I love you, church, and you couldn't say I love you back. Not only the heart of the world, but what about the hatred of the world? The world is at enmity with God. It's hostile to God. It's hostile to Christianity. I've got 50 things. Listen, in 10 years, how many fingers and thumbs do I have up? 10 years, 50 tremendous changes to our society against God and Christians. 50 in 10 years. The world has a hatred for the things of God. The world has a hatred for you. And the very world that hates God, he loves them. And so are we supposed to love them. He said in John 15:18, if the world hated you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. What? So we see the head of the world, the heart of the world, the hatred of the world. What is the hope of the world? John 3:16. All these problems abound. Preacher Darren, you're right. It's terrible. What are we going to do? He's already done it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's already done everything that he needs to do. Hallelujah to God. Well, praise his name. Hey, turn to John 17. I'm just going to throw this in there before I quit. John 17, look at verse number 9. John 17, verse number 9. This is Jesus praying. Look what it says. This is important. John 17, 9. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. What, preacher Darren? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. See that? Jesus is praying for the believers. But he says, I'm not praying for the world. Can't believe it. Why would he not pray? Because he's already done everything he needed to do. When you've done everything you can do, everything that needs to be done for somebody, what more can you do? What's left for you to do? He died for their sins. All they need to do is believe it. Well, he needs to pray for them. He's already sent the Holy Ghost to convict them. He's already died for them, was buried, bore the shame, the reproach, bore all their sins that they might be saved. He's done all that needed to be done. I'll close here. I'm done. Ike Miller, back in the olden days, was an abusive drunkard, a wicked man. He had a wife and two children. And when he came home in the evening, late in the night, 10, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, they would hide under the beds in the closet behind the doors because their daddy would beat their mama. Their daddy would beat them with a stick of stove wood or with maybe like something that he would use in the fire tongs or whatever. He would beat them. I mean, he would cuss them. He would throw things. He would break things. He was a wicked man. And one of his friends invited him to go to church to a revival meeting. And the preacher there that night was Henry Morehouse. And Henry Morehouse took the text, John 3:16, and he preached on the love of God. And when he finished, few people got saved. And the crowd, the audience, the congregation was dismissed. And everybody came to the young preacher and said, "Do you know that Ike Miller was in our congregation? Everybody knows he beats his wife. He abuses his children. And here you preach on the love of God. You should have preached judgment. You should have preached hell, fire, and damnation. That's what you should have preached." And Morehouse even fell, questioning, what did he preach that night? But something happened in Ike Miller's heart. On the way home, conviction was eating him up. He got home about 8:30, 8:45. And when he got it, as soon as he got in, he was early. And his wife went to hide in the closet, and the children ran under their beds. He said, "Family, I'm home. Come out from whether you are, wherever you are. Come out. Please come out. Please come out, because God's brought your daddy home tonight." The children, one by one, they came out, and the mama came out, and he put his arms around them, and he said, I've been a terrible daddy, and I've been a terrible husband. He said, "I want y'all to pray with me." Under conviction, this is what he said. He said, "When I was a little boy, my mama taught me a prayer. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon me, a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee." And right there in the middle of his living room, Ike Miller got saved. The love of God. I'm telling you, the love of God has met us right where we live. He found me in my sin. And rather than condemn me, I was condemned already. He loved me. And he saved me. And he changed my world. And though I may have failed 1,000 times over 1,000, I have an announcement, see if I can get amen. He still loves me. So I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how bad you've messed up. God loves the world. God loves you. You'll stand to your feet. I would remind you, you're part of the world that he's talking about. You're part of the world that he's loving right now. I want you to bow your head. God said he loves you. Can you take the time to say, "I love you" back? Hey, we love him because he first loved us. Heads are bowed, nobody's looking. Is there somebody that needs to come say, "Lord, I just want to tell you, you've told me already you love me. You sent a preacher to me to tell me. You sent the word of God to me to tell me. And I want to render my knee today and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his suffering. Thank you for his shame. Thank you for his victory. Thank you for his triumph. Thank you, God, for sending me a preacher. Thank you, God, for sending me your word. Thank you, God, for sending me a wife. Thank you, God, for sending me a husband, sending me a spouse. Thank you, God, for giving me children. Thank you, God, for giving me a roof over my head. Thank you, God, for giving me a car to drive. Thank you, God, that right now my nation is not in war. God, how I thank you. And I love you. I love you today. Father, we praise you this morning. And we honor you, the King of glory. How I thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And God, I know that this message that I preached, it's feeble, it's inept. Lord, my feeble lips and my failure as an ability to preach the word. But God, I pray you'd overcome my handicaps and my obstacles. And God, you'd send the message far and wide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you today, God, for so loving me. Oh, I praise you. And I love you today. And I ask your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.